Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Mr. Gilbert Juarez, who is the youth minister at St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church. How are you, Gilbert?
Doing great, thanks.
I've had a few youth ministers in the past, and it's always great to see the excitement that you all bring to the table, see the different understandings of youth ministry, and just to see that that passion that you all have in ministering to youth. So I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you.
But before we get started with youth ministry there at the church, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Gilbert Juarez. I've been the youth minister of St. Cyril Methodius about 20 years. This September we'll be marking our 20th anniversary of having youth ministry, specifically what we call Life Teen, the program that we use there at St. Cyril Methodius. I'm been married for 25 years, happily married, yes, and we'll be celebrating that pretty soon to my wonderful wife, Melissa Juarez. I have two boys. The oldest is 24, the youngest is 18, both graduated, one from Miller, one from John Paul II High School. The oldest, who graduated from Miller, also went on to UT and graduated from UT, and now he wants to be a film director, so he's out in Hollywood and lives in L.A., Then my baby, well, I can't call him the baby, the youngest child, Jeremy, he played football for John Paul, just graduated in May, and is pursuing a criminal justice degree at Del Mar and going to school and learning a lot out there. So it's a little bit about myself. Let's see. I guess before I started with St. Cyril Methodius, I used to be a probation officer. So,
okay.
Yeah, I worked for Nueces County for a couple of years.
Did you work with youth and adults?
No, just adult probation, yeah. It was just the adults. We had a little bit more. To me, an adult and youth, the youth can arrest the young people, but in adult probation, we got to arrest anyone that didn't comply with anything we asked them to do. So I kind of like the adult probation a lot more. But then after that, let's see, before that, I was a probation officer. Then I was with Child Protective Services and did a lot of cases with children and parents who abused them and trying to, just mend those problems between families. So I got to do a lot of casework.
So it seems as though you had an interest in social work. I'm wondering how that came into youth ministry.
I think it kind of prepared me in terms that I got my degree in 19, back in when it was Corpus Christi State University. And my degree is in psychology. That's my degree. But, being a probation officer helped me to supervise. So now I supervise, not adults, but I supervise teens, about 100 almost of them. And then with Child Protective Services, that kind of prepared me to be able to have that interaction between, parents and kids, and just being able to have a healthy family environment. So I was able to counsel those, those families. And I think I bring all that to the table when I do youth ministry, even though I don't tell everyone, that's what I've done in the past. But it has helped in terms of being able to provide some direction for the youth and their families at St. Cyril Methodius.
Wonderful. So you said that you were the youth minister for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a calling to youth ministry? Sometimes youth ministers have funny stories of how all that happened.
Yeah, I don't
know. Or the priest just asked you to join.
No, it's funny because I've had a calling. I keep missing whatever the calling is because when I was a kid, I was when I started youth ministry, when I was at Christ the King.
Okay.
And we had a great youth ministry. We had CYO. We had the CYO model. But then somehow that didn't really fit what Christ the King wanted and eventually evolved to youth ministry in terms of just gathering teens together. And we really just gathered together every Sunday. I don't know what the point of it was really, but that was our youth ministry. Oh, we had a retreat. And so everyone wanted to do the retreat and go on retreats. And I was very involved with that. Got to do talks for the retreats. And this is when I was about 17, 18 years old. And have been somewhat had a hand in youth ministry since that's like okay. Now 30 years ago, 35. So I don't know if I really had a call, but I just know it's been part of who I have been as far as when I grew up and what, you know, it meant to me in youth ministry, having that as my basis in my Catholic identity, because I was also an altar server when I was a kid,
okay.
You know, and I wanted to serve, and youth ministry seemed like an opportunity to also serve other youth. So I think that's kind of the basis or the background for me to be in youth ministry. But then I think also because I have a bunch of experience in it. So, you know, I've seen the CYO model come and go. I don't know. I think, we still have some parishes maybe with CYO.
Sporadically,
yeah.
Yes.
And so then youth ministry was just another opportunity for the youth to gather, but didn't have kind of like, they call it youth groups. And mm-hmm. I think they still call it youth groups. But the youth now, when we do ministry, we have a different take on what youth ministry is. It's not just gathering teens together and you know, socializing or... Mm-hmm.
Which is a sometimes a misconception out there. But then now let's go ahead and talk about youth ministry. Why is it so important to minister to the youth, especially in modern culture?
I think they need to be part of the church right now. They need to have a identity. They're Catholic. They need to know what that is and who they are. And with our parish and Life Teen, we model the adults, try to, you know, the youth ministers. Because I have about 8 youth ministers that really help me minister to these young people, and they themselves are, you know, they're 100% Catholic, and you know, they believe in the teachings of the church. They're not going to say, oh, you can pick and choose what you want to believe as a Catholic. No, we tell them this is the truth. You can take it or reject it. That's up to you as a teen, but we're not going to water down any, you know, make it nice for them to accept teachings. We're just going to say, these are the teachings of the church. We are Catholic, and this is what we believe in. So they need to be given the truth, one. Then they need to be able to stand up for the truth. If they don't know what they're, you know, standing up for, then they'll fall for anything. And so we want them to know what they are, who they are, and to be able to, you know, maybe not apologetics or defend, but just who are you?
Or just the basic tenets of the Catholic faith.
And another thing we like to do in St. Sir Methodius is provide that information to them and then have them be part of the church. You know, they're not the future of the church. They actually are part of the church now. We have some of the teens that are 18 and seniors, they're youth ministers, and they're also Eucharistic ministers. You know, they belong to a ministry, so they're serving in the church. Some of them are lectors, they're 16, and so they're able to read. So there's different ministries they can plug into and be part of the church family to be involved.
So they're not just spectators.
They're
not just coming to church for the food.
Right.
They're actually involved.
Well,
they do come for the food.
They're there for the food. But then once we get them there, then it's like we kind of like put the bait out there and then we caught them. So let's see if we can keep them. And that's the whole key of it, is keeping them and teaching them.
Well, that's a large youth ministry. You said about 100 students. Is that both middle and high school?
No, that's just the high school. The high school,
okay.
on our roll, we'll have like about 125, let's say. But at any given evening, we meet every Sunday.
Okay.
And so we'll begin with Mass. And that's like the most important part of our program, Life Teen, is mm-hmm. Eucharist mm-hmm. and being able to be fed there. And then after Mass, we'll gather and we'll do one of 3 types of nights. We'll either do a social, but that's just once a month, or we'll do a catechetical night, or we'll do an issue. Maybe they're dealing with sex, drugs, and alcohol. You know, whatever they're dealing with, problems, the teens that are currently are attending right now, we want to try and listen to them and see, what are y'all dealing with? And then let's deal with those issues and where does the church stand on those issues. So we'll have an issue. We'll have a catechesis. Right now we're in Lent, so we're teaching a lot about Lent and why we do the things we do during Lent. And we also, at Life Teen, besides those 3 nights, we'll do what we call an XLT, an exalt night. And that's just an opportunity for them to praise and worship through music. So we have a little band, and the band is called Bolt, the Band of Life Teen.
So, oh, okay.
Bolt.
Band of Life Teen.
Yeah, the
okay.
Band of Life. And the band, they like to be called the band. They make up, there's a guitar player that we have. His name is Chris Sanchez. And then my main vocal, Melanie, plus Tori, and there's some other vocals we have, Angelica. And we had Jeremy on bass. He's a bass player, Jeremy Juarez. And then Luis Garcia, he's our drummer. So those 5 to 6 individuals, they're all teens, all in high school, except for Jeremy. He's the only one that's graduated a year out. But they all put together praise and worship music and just kind of do adoration and set up the mood for a night of prayer. So that's kind of important for us to be able to have the teens, instead of talk about prayer, mm-hmm. we just pray.
It's one experience, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the whole point of our ministry, too, is experiences. Teens want an experience, and they're going out there and finding them on Saturday nights, but if we can give them experiences of Eucharist, of liturgy, of other things, then possibly they can see Christ in the world and experience that and take it with them.
Now, I know that music is an important part of Life Teen. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to get back to the specifics of Life Teen and why the kids are so attracted to this kind of youth ministry.
This is Labors of Love.
If you're a high school-aged young lady, the Diocese Offices of Youth Ministry and Life, Justice, and Human Dignity encourage you to join your friends and make new ones at the one-day True Radiance Retreat and True Modesty Fashion Show. The site is St. Teresa Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana in Corpus Christi, on Saturday, March 9th. You'll discover what true radiance is and how you're valued by God in everything you are and do. There'll be fun activities and 7 distinct sessions that will help you grow as a woman in today's world. For complete information, call Tina Villegas at 882-6191. It's time to discover your true radiance.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm your host, Margaret Alari, and I'm here with my guest, Gilbert Juarez, who is the youth minister now for 20 years at St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church. And it's really great to hear that you've been there that long. Sometimes in faith formation, religious ed, youth ministry, etc., there's a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because our youth today really need solid role models that they see on a regular basis.
Right.
But let's go back to Life Teen. And you spoke about music, and I just want to express that music allows us during liturgy and in other moments of prayer to really praise God with our whole mind, body, and soul. And there's something about music that attracts our young people. Now, music is really not all that great on pop stations nowadays.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, why are the kids so attracted to music? And that's a really important part of the Life Teen model of youth ministry.
I think music is just, it just crosses all boundaries. It's just, it's moving. And so I think a lot of them can relate to a song and say, wow, I like that song. And for us, we use it to, of course, set the mood. You know, if we want to go into a prayer mode, we will slow down music, and the words sometimes can capture what we want to say to the teens without saying it. You know, we just kind of sing it to them, and then they pick up on the words, and then it's just moving for them to have music, and it helps us in our ministry, definitely, especially in the band. They really love to perform, and so in performing, they don't get to do anything that's off the secular charts, but mm-hmm. they get to do stuff that they really like in terms of Jesus and God and maybe Eucharist or whatever we can find in terms of relating to the teens.
Well, and I think that's important because our kids are really involved in music. I remember when I was a teenager, and I don't know if you can relate, but music was just our world. We listened to it all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
We would recite tunes. It's a little different now as an adult. I'm not that addicted to music. But our kids are all about music today.
Yeah, exactly. And so they'll listen to their radio stations, but then when they come to Life Teen, mm-hmm. here's an alternative, and here's a better set of music. And we challenge them, you know, why do we want to listen to all these other stations when you have, you know, KLUX, or you have other stations that you could be listening to that provide, you know, better language.
And speaking of challenging, if they really looked at the lyrics of those songs,
yeah.
and really thought about what they promote, what they put their money in, and what they're singing, I think they would perhaps change their mind, because we have good kids out there.
Yeah, and we have to offer that type of stuff, because I know, like you were mentioning, you know, I've been there 20 years, but for me, it's always been about, let's see how consistent we can be with teens, because if we're not there for them, then they're going to go find something. And so we've been trying to be consistent in time in terms of, like, every Sunday we meet. You know, there's no question that we're going to be coming together every Sunday at 6 o'clock for Mass. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a given. And if the teens can't figure that out, then they know that right after that, we're going to be meeting every Sunday, unless it's Father's Day or Mother's Day or sure. Easter or Christmas. But, you know, we'll meet the other 48 times a year. And so it's very
wonderful.
Consistent.
So during the summer?
Yes, during the summer even.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we've always battled that, you know, for the past 19 years. Do we meet during the summer? Mm-hmm. Well, we don't stop going to Mass during the summer. Mm-hmm. So why do we stop meeting?
Sure.
So, yes, we will meet during the summer. It's not as maybe heavy duty in catechesis, but mm-hmm. we do have teachings that are going on every Sunday. So, and again, it's just to be consistent. It's almost like being a rock. We're going to be there no matter what.
And the kids will need you.
Yeah.
There's those times where those youth will definitely need you. Now, this took me back to you being a probation officer for adults. Were there times when you noticed that there was some trends or patterns in their youth, or maybe that they didn't have role models as youth that got them maybe into some trouble as adults?
Possibly. You know, there's so many factors. There's mm-hmm. not one thing, you know.
Sure.
But for me, what happened with probation, I wanted to be a probation officer, but I just didn't like the fact that I reacted. You know, someone broke the law, and the way, because they broke the law, you react to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Monsignor was, you know, after me saying, would you like to be a youth minister? And I'm like, you know, you can't pay me what they pay me at probation. There's no way. But I was always in courts, very stressed, and just reacting. And so I said, you know, here's an opportunity to, you know, take a cut in pay. But it wasn't about the pay. It was like, you know, I could be, you know, proactive, try
sure,
to reach people before they get into these
exactly.
different areas. So I don't know, you know, why, you know, patterns of adults and why they got to where they're at. But mm-hmm. I do know for me, it was like, this is an opportunity to be proactive with God and with Mass and with church. And just it just was just an exciting outlook. It's like, man, look at all the things that are possible. And so let's see if we can offer that to teens. And so that's what I pursued. I don't know what we were doing. It was like, well, this is what God is kind of showing me, but
sure.
I don't know what it really looks like. So to date, we meet every Sunday, every Monday. Tonight, we'll have a Bible study. It's always at 7 o'clock. Anytime
okay.
we have a meeting, they already know 7 p.m. is the time. We'll have we're preparing for confirmation kids on Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. It's always at 7. We'll have a planning meeting on Thursday night. It's going to be at 7. So whenever we do evening meetings, they're usually at 7 o'clock. So I tell the teams, we meet at 7. So you
so there's no excuses. I didn't
yeah.
know what time we were meeting.
Yeah, I didn't know what time. And they always try to figure out, is it at 6, 6:30? No, 7. 7 is magic
number. That's the magic number.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about then the actual functions that you do. You mentioned that in Life Teen there are three main areas that you focus your teachings on. There's social teachings, catechetical teachings, and then perhaps an issue that the kids want to focus on, the youth.
Right.
What are some of the social functions that you do? Do you do dances? Do you out to restaurants?
We do mainly we'll do like some kind of Olympic type thing or just a bunch of games or
game night.
Yeah, game night. Let me think of some other. We'll do like maybe Mardi Gras, because Mardi Gras just passed up. We'll like a Christmas dance.
Okay.
Easter, we'll have an Easter egg hunt maybe or something crazy out there.
Which I might say those dances, a Christmas dance or an Easter dance, might be a little different from the typical junior or high school dance that the students are used to going to.
Yeah, and so the dancing is like, okay, you know, they're bringing the secular part in, but, you know, you just kind of have to let them be aware, you know, where they're at. And mm-hmm. you know, this still is holy ground, you know, this is still church, but mm-hmm. they're able to at least be joyful in the way they celebrate. You know, it doesn't have to include, you know, drugs or alcohol or sex, but we can have a great time and enjoy each other, you know, properly within these means, and they have such a great experience. And so that's what we want, those experiences that really can speak out to them and say, wow, I had a great time. So, you know, we didn't even do anything crazy, but we did. It was like we all got together.
Enjoyed each other's company.
Yeah, it gets crazy when you get 100 teens together. It's already going to be crazy, so you can't not have fun. It's like it's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, what about the catechetical topics? What are some of the things that you teach about?
Well, we'll go into like things like social justice, or maybe we'll have a whole semester on vocations, or we'll be talking about maybe the Ten Commandments or Bible. You know, what is Scripture? Where, you know, how do we understand, or how can we learn more about Scripture? So some of the nights just lend to teach stuff about even, you know, what is Eucharist? You know, we can go into the Mass. What is the Mass? Why do we celebrate the Mass, and exactly what is it? So those are type of catechesis we will be offering them, you know, to teach them more about themselves as you know, seven sacraments. What are they? You know, what do they do for us? You know, do they give us grace? Yes. And they don't even know what sanctifying grace or, you know, regular grace or actual grace. They don't even know what grace is. It's like, isn't that the prayer? Isn't that her name? No. So we go into those type of things where they can start. They won't get it all, but they kind of have at least been exposed to it. So.
Okay. And then this one I'm pretty curious about. What are some of the issues that you all have spoken about?
We've talked about, like, mainly teen pregnancies, mainly the main one, sex. Of course, we'll have someone come in and do abstinence, and that's our main objective. And then cutting, we've done some stuff on cutting and just self-esteem.
Self-esteem issues.
And so those are the issues of true love weights type of stuff. But mainly our thinking is, you know, we can't speak enough about teen pregnancy or abstinence, or we always want, it seems like that's what we need to talk more about.
And
no one wants to talk about that.
And really where we need to take our youth is to the fact that they were made in the image and likeness of God, and that they have dignity.
Right.
And that even though people or whomever, wherever might have told them that they're worthless, that they're full of worth.
Correct.
And once they really understand that, then the understanding of waiting for marriage and being in a committed relationship or really taking care of their mind, body, and soul would be very important to them.
Yep, that's true. And so then besides all that, we also do some service. So I know we can do a whole price segment on service, but one of the main service projects we do is every second Saturday we feed the homeless at the Mother Teresa shelter. And we're always down, I mean, every second Saturday. So the teens know. The second Saturday, yes, we're at the Mother Teresa's shelter feeding the homeless. So,
well, Gilbert, it seems like you have a wonderful program going on. May God continue to bless you and your 20-plus years of ministry there at St. Cyril and Methodius. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Two men worked together for a company building bicycles. During the course of their work, they discovered they had many things in common and became fast friends. They began to spend leisure time together, and as they did, they talked about their hopes and dreams. They also shared ideas about their work and how they could improve on some of the designs they worked with. As time passed, they drew designs and eventually quit their jobs to start their own business, building bicycles based on the ideas they had discussed during their time together outside of work. Their new business filled them both with a sense of joy and fulfillment. Business was slow at first, but after a few months it picked up, promising a bright future, until one day they received a letter. The letter was a cease and desist letter informing the two men that, under a clause in their previous employment agreement, the design of their bicycle in fact belonged to their former employer. It further stated that they were being sued for theft of the intellectual property of their past employer. Needless to say, they were shocked. Pooling their resources, they set out to protect themselves and their newly formed company. In the process, they discovered that they had become advocates not only for themselves, but for all small business owners who might experience a David and Goliath encounter. Knowing that they could help others gave them an even greater joy than owning their own company. Joy and happiness are our response to partaking of something we love. Our desire for that joy and happiness is great. It often directs us to our life's work, a work which is not always a clear choice when we begin seeking our way through life. As we journey along, we might find ourselves pulled in different directions, directions which are unexpected, similarly to what happened to the two men with the bicycle business. Our desire for happiness can only be satisfied by the affirmation that what we do for others. It is not for ourselves alone that we work, but to provide in some way for those we love. Likewise, when we strive to live our faith, we sometimes discover that what we thought we were supposed to be doing is not actually what God desires from us. The self-giving love of Christ draws us to Him, calling us to live a life of love for one another. It is here that we enter into the ministries to which He calls us. Those ministries are never about the minister, nor are they simply for those to whom we minister. He called us to minister, not to be indispensable. Rather, He called us to be there for Him. After all, He is the one who called. He enables us to share the true vision of seeing everything as a gift from God, a gift through which we are invited to know the eternal delight of the fullness of His love, a love that irradiates forever. The two men with the bicycle business were filled with joy, a joy that did not come so much from what they did as who they did it for. Their new work was to help others who have experienced something like what they did. Jesus told us that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers few. May you listen with ears open to the size of God's love for you as He calls you to ministry, and may you always discover joy in the sacred moments of your work. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Gilbert Juarez, who has been the youth minister at St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church for over 20 years. If you would like more information about youth ministry, please call him at 361-215-0248. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.